Praise the Lord. We'll take your Bibles once again and turn with me to Psalm 23. When I first prepared this, I had two sermons, and now it seems it'll be at least four. But it is a blessed psalm, isn't it? God has used this psalm in the lives of His children for 3,000 years. And why not us? Amen? Why not us? Brethren, I remind you that the Lord, if you are saved today, the Lord is your shepherd. Like any shepherd who's lost a sheep, though, he can't be the shepherd that he would until he finds you. Right? And I think that's true. As we come to this verse that secular songs have been crafted around, the truth is that there's nobody in this world that does not know trouble. There are many unsaved people who would say that they're going through the valley of the shadow of death, and you know what? They probably are. But the sad thing is the Lord Jesus Christ is not there with them. Unless in that valley, they cry out to Him. And He will come. You may be here today and you may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. What that means is this, that in your mind you believe it would be better for you to be dead than alive. You might say, well, the Scripture, God shouldn't talk that way. Remember, the Bible is given to us not only to show the heart of God, but to reveal the heart of man. And the truth is from the very beginning, there have been those, and many of us throughout our lifetimes have had times where we thought it'd be better for us to not be alive. Not in the sense that you're looking to kill yourself, but by the way, I do believe that great sin that's come upon our land where many, many people are killing themselves is grave, grave terror. It ought not to be. The sad thing is the terror that's left behind. Now, of course, those who die, who without Christ, die to a doom that I want nobody to ever experience. And there's no doubt about that. The truth is that every person who takes their life leaves a wake of destruction behind them and is going to lead others into the valley of the shadow of death, where they're going to think to themselves, better for me to be gone than to be alive. Job, we'll look at this in a moment. Job went so far as to look back to the day of his birth and wish that his mom had not opened her knees so that he would have died in the womb. That's the way he put it. There's times in our life where we think it's so hard that it'd be better for me to not be here. Now, this is not a sermon on taking your life. It's a sermon on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your hope. Who, if you were to allow Him, will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And in the midst of it, you need not fear evil. You do not have to fear whatever may come to pass. You do not have to fear whatever may come to pass. One of the great comforts of this verse for the child of God is it says, yea, though I walk through. You circle that in your Bible. Through. What does that mean? What does that word through mean? It means that you're not going to be there forever. You're not going to be there forever. One of the men that I've come to respect and honor the most in my life, who I think about still often, is my father-in-law, Mark Burns. For the last 25 years of his life, was afflicted with Parkinson's. And towards the last 10 years of his life, it really took its great toll. He very much homebound. He barely went anywhere but church. All the way up to the end, he always worked to make it to church. We were really remarkable. But I would talk to him sometimes, just me and him. And I know he's talked this way to many people. But he so longed for heaven. He talked about how he looks forward to falling down the steps so he can go to heaven. And I always took it as a silly thing, but in his mind, I know that there was a reality to it. That he was in some ways in the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that he'd never be the man that he once was. But I tell you the truth, right now he is. He's more of a man than he ever was. You know, even when our health declines to the point where we know we'll never be what we once were. We're never going to be 23 again. You get to 80, 90 years old, you understand I'm never going to be able to do those things again. And sometimes our health gets to the point where we're in pain all the time. But if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, believe this with all your heart, that you will not continue in that valley. I'm so thankful for this psalm. May God help us. So let's read together. Take those Bibles, Psalm 23. If you want to read it out loud with me, follow with me. And may God help us. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, please meet with us now. Help this scripture to make sense to us, to help us in the present, to help us in the future. Lord, that we would remember that you are beside us, that we can come beside you, and that you will get us through. So please, please, Lord, do these things. Minister to us, we pray. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, amen. Excuse me. First, I want you to notice that little word, yay. Yay. What that word is doing, it is causing us to look back into the previous verse. And what it says is, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yay. Yay. And what that means is this. If we are going to walk on the paths of righteousness, where is it going to lead? The paths of righteousness for his name's sake is going to lead to the valley of the shadow of death. We are all going to go through tribulation. We are all going to go through trouble. We're all going to go through trials. We will not escape it. It's going to happen. And every one of these is for the glory of God and for our own good. That word yea means yes, even. Yes, even. And so, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The truth is that in this world that we have grown up in the way in which we have lived, in the sin that has come upon us, that we see all around us, there is a work that God is doing, and He is refining us, He's perfecting us, He is leading us through this path of righteousness, and sometimes it's going to lead through a difficulty that is going to force us to a place to where we are in dependence upon God more than we ever have before in our lives. To where every moment of every day seems to be a prayer to God. I don't know how I'm going to make it through, but You are God and You will do it. These things happen and come upon each and every one of us, whether it's in our youth and a poverty that comes upon us. So many of us in our youth knew poverty like we've never known since then. And I've told many of you how I subsisted on corn and rice and hot sauce and the great pleasure when I was able to get a little bag of shredded cheese to put over the top. And I would eat that twice a day. And I did that for a long time, for weeks. A long time today is not as long as it was then. But those were hard days. I remember crying out to God, weeping, and saying, God, I do not know what I'm going to do. Boy, He came through. By the way, I do not believe I would be here if I did not go through that. If I did not go through that, I probably would be trying to become a millionaire, billionaire in business. That was my goal, especially before I got saved. And even after I got saved, my goal was great success. I wanted to become the next C.H. Spurgeon. That sounds like a seemingly innocent goal enough, but it was so filled with rank pride that it was gross and disgusting. By the way, do you know what C.H. Spurgeon had to go through in order to be C.H. Spurgeon? Read his life. It was filled with hardship. I remember when we lost our first child and I didn't know what to do. My wife was weeping and she was sitting next to me in the car. And I was sitting there stone struck. And she looked over at me with great tears, with the redness of the eyes and yelled at the top of her lungs, "Why aren't you crying?" I couldn't cry. I didn't know what to do. What am I going to do as a husband? What am I going to do? I've cried so many tears for that little one since then. Usually in the private moments between me and God, wondering what might have been. But I also believe this with all my heart, that little one's in heaven. And I look forward to seeing him or her. Likely her, it just seems to be the case. We all go through the valley of the shadow of death at times where we wonder, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? I don't want to be here in the moment, but where else can I go? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. The path of righteousness will lead through the valley of the shadow of death. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. I was reading chapter 48 this morning. And God brings great judgment upon the nation of Israel and upon the people of Israel, and the things that they went through are more than I could believe. But I want you to notice there, in verse 9, "For my name's sake I will defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee. that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Then look at verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And so what does the Lord do? He leads us in the way that we should go. And in leading us the way that we should go, what does He do? He refines us not by silver, but by what? Affliction. Affliction. He leads us through this affliction, and He will lead you through. I don't know what you've gone through. Many of you have stories that you could tell. Some of you in the midst of the stories that you will tell. And some of us have stories coming for us. But understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Lord God. He is the I Am. He knows the beginning from the end. He is all powerful and He has not forgotten you. He is the shepherd. He is the bishop and shepherd of your souls. He is the good shepherd. He is the wise shepherd. There is none like Him. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. If He has redeemed you, He did not give you back. He has redeemed you from sin and the penalty of sin. He's also redeemed you from the... Brother? You okay? Sorry. Oh, good, good. Hey, give it to you. He has redeemed you from your sin. He has redeemed you from the kingdom of darkness. He has redeemed you from all that which is wicked. He has taken you for Himself. And I want you to know, He is not going to give you back. Right? He is not going to give you back. What a wicked and false doctrine that is, to think that God is going to give you back. Remember, what is this affliction for? To refine you as silver. If that's the truth, then what is going on? There's something wrong with you. There's something that's not right. There's dross or some kind of lead in the silver, right? That needs to be burned away. The tin in your life, that which is not precious, needs to be melted out. And so that's often through the fire of affliction. There's a growing movement out there today that would say that the affliction of God proves that He's done with you. I want you to know this cannot be true. He has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You're His. Don't believe them when you hear them on Facebook videos. One of the men that I remember as a preacher when I was young and I was growing in the Lord, and I would say he had a good influence in my life. John Piper. Many of you have heard that name. He published many books, pastored a great church in Minnesota, big church. Be very careful of what you hear on Facebook. Number one, because you're not going to get it all. They're going to give you a short, right? And what does the short leave you without? The context. And so I don't know what the context is, but I know the point that the man who posted was trying to make, and that is that He can give you back. He can give you back. And so you better behave or He'll give you back. And this is a lie. May God help us. I've called you by name. You are mine. That's what He says. If you have never been His, then you were never His. But I'm telling you right now, you can come to Him this very moment because He died on the cross for your sin and rose from the dead. May God help us. Notice in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, start there in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we all suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And so I want you to notice some things there. First, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the one who is merciful and He is the one who comforts. That means to bring peace in the midst of tribulation. Even in the midst of our tribulation, He can bring peace to our soul when we remember Him, when we trust in Him, when we realize that He is the good shepherd who, though He has led us through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear evil, for He is with us. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, all the things that shake our lives up, He is ready to comfort us. Everything that shakes your life, God uses to lead us to Him for comfort. One of the great problems in this world is we seek everything else but God. I'm reminded of the bread and soup lines of the Great Depression. Many of you have seen those videos, right? I'm not against bread lines and soup lines, but here's the problem. If it leads people to forget God in the midst of it, saying, I'll get bread and soup, then the Great Depression was without value for that person. But every man who lost their job during the Great Depression, who was being led through the valley of the shadow of death, it was God's opportunity to say, come to me and let me bring you comfort. Let me show you the way to go. That you may trust me, even if it is in a bread line. The problem we have so often is that we do not turn to the Lord in the midst of the tribulation, but look for some other solution. And in our day, there's lots of solutions other than God that seem to work. Even to the point now where they're talking about transhumanism. I don't know if you've heard that term, but the idea that we're going to change human beings into something more than a human being through technology. And it's a strange science that sadly we're spending billions of dollars on. But Christian, I want to remind you, with all the technology that's out there, I'm not saying not to get the cancer cut out of your body. I'm not saying not to have the treatment to cause the cancer to be reduced so that you can live a long life. But let it lead you to God. You see, when Jesus healed people, what he was looking to do in the healing was not just to show how powerful he was. He is all powerful. But so that the people that were healed would love him. So if the doctors are going to keep us from loving God, then what good are the doctors? That's what I'm saying. Right? You get what I mean? I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm saying don't let the doctor replace God. Turn to the Lord. and let Him lead you. I'm not a Christian Scientist that says if you go to the hospital, you're sinning against God. But I am saying don't let the hospital replace God. If your daughter falls into the dishwasher that's open, maybe because another daughter pushed her, I don't know. And there's a knife in her arm that she has to pull out. You're going to say, I need to go to the hospital. But let that sudden thing that's come upon you, believe me, that happened to us. Let it say, God, help me, right? Turn to the Lord. I remember when Riley was a big strapping boy and he decided he was going to lift Avery up and over our little baby gate. And then he tripped into the baby gate, dropped Avery on the floor. The baby gate fell on Avery and Riley fell on the baby gate. Riley's always been a big kind of guy. We thought Avery was done for. She's still here. Ain't no baby gate going to hurt her anymore. But I'm just saying, those are things that God allows to happen in your life to lead you to pray, to lead you to Himself. We moved into our new apartment back here in Wood River Junction. And there obviously were mice and rats in there at one point because the previous tenant left a whole big thing of mouse poison. And Riley was crawling around, and Heather came into the kitchen, and he was surrounded by rat poison. It was all around him. And she called me on the road. He said, Riley's gonna die. He ate rat poison. Oh, Chloe. I was Chloe, okay. Obviously she made it. But I tell you, when I prayed all the way there, right? The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. The valley of the shadow of death is a place where death is preferable to life or the wish that you'd never been born. Turn to Job chapter 3. This was Job's first response to his friends. They'd been fasting and silent for 7 days. 7 days they said nothing. Finally, one of his friends spoke up. And this was this is his first response. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these 7 days, this is what Job said. After this, opened Job's mouth and cursed his day. Now, he didn't curse God, but he did curse his day. What does he mean by that? Well, this is what he means. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. And so what's he saying? He's saying, I wish the day I was born never, ever, what? Happened. Ever. Right? And the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let the darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the mouths. Lo, let the night be solitary. No joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to rise up in their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb. And so what's he saying? He's saying it's all dark because my mother's womb was not shut up. To where I could not come out, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then I had been at rest. The kings and counselors of the earth, he's saying, my life would be far better if I'd never lived one day. Now, this is what Job said. Is that God's perspective of Job? Was God's perspective of Job that it'd be better for him to have died that first day because of all that was going on in him? No. God was going to get Job through. And God did bless Job tremendously, no doubt about it. By the way, God never told Job why it happened. He just said, I'm God. And I made all the stars. And I caused the dinosaurs to drink. You don't use the word dinosaur. That was a word that came up. That was invented in the 1800s. He used the word Leviathan and the word behemoth. Thank you. He said, were you there? Of course, Job fell on his face and said, I wasn't there. I'm just saying, people go through these things. And we go through these things. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ who will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, that we fear no evil. That we fear no evil. That word evil is a word that's used throughout the scripture, and it means to have some bad thing happen in our life. In one respect, God does no evil. He never does anything wrong. But God does do evil. In fact, you can read about God's doing evil all throughout the scripture. God allows bad things to happen. He causes bad things to happen. Right? He does. And so what does the scripture say? It says, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to fear the bad things that will happen. By the way, when bad things happen, those are the things that we fear more than we fear death, especially as Christians. I mean, you say, I'm not really afraid of death, but I sure am afraid of going through what might lead me to die. Right? I know where I'm going when I die. But I don't want to lose a leg and get there, right? I don't want to lose an eye and get there. I don't want to go through a horrible car crash. I don't want to not be able to stand up on the pulpit or be able to get up the stairs. But guess what? These things happen, don't they? And the great shepherd says, you need not fear evil because I am with you, right? Bad things do happen. But praise the Lord, He's with us. We need to allow Him to be with us. We need to invite Him to come to be with us. We need to desire Him to be with us. And the bad things that happen, brethren, they're the very things that lead us to say, you know what, I need to run to God. I need to run to God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they do comfort me. With Christ as our shepherd, we are comforted when fear comes upon us because we know that He is Lord. We'll finish with this. These are some of the most wonderful and comforting verses in the scripture. And here's what makes them comforting. They're true. They're true. 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible, this verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible body shall have put on incorruption. So what do we know about these bodies? Are they corruptible or are they incorruptible? They're corruptible. If you think they're incorruptible, wait a few years. You'll find out they're corruptible. What does that mean? They're getting worse and worse, right? How many of you know your bodies are getting worse and worse? Now we can do some things to keep that worse and worse from getting to, from accelerating, being fast at going there. No doubt about that. But there's no way we're going to keep ourselves from these bodies getting corrupted. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's an incorruptible body. One of the great things about understanding salvation is to know that you're going to get an incorruptible body, a body that is not going to get worse and worse. And this mortal, mortal means to die, shall put on immortality, will never die. Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, one of the things that you know is that when you die, you're going to heaven. And sometimes you begin to think, well, when I die and go to heaven, what's that going to be like? Am I going to be like an angel? Am I going to be a floating spirit on the clouds? Am I going to have a harp and a halo? Scripture says none of that, but what it does say, you're going to have a new body. In fact, I think the devil wants us to replace the new body that God's going to give us with angel wings and a halo. I don't know all that we're going to do with that new body, but I know this, it's going to be wonderful. And that's not me saying that. This is what God says. And I believe it with all my heart. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can do what God wants us to do. Even though these bodies are going to get worse and worse. And then turn over to Romans chapter 8. If you're in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, would you please believe this today? Would you please believe this today? Because this is what God says, and I believe it is a promise. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is the Lord your shepherd? This promise is for you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so, all things work together for good to them that love God. What good? For, what good are you talking about? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. The good is being conformed to the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming more and more and more and more like him until the day you see him. And the day you see him, you'll be like him, for you'll see him as he is if you're saved. But to have all the bad in our life gone, all the sin and all the consequence of sin gone. But he's some of the times the things that we go through in this world, it seems very bad, but it's for our good because he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I fully believe in predestination, but not as the Calvinists believe. Because this predestination says what? What can you not do anything about? What has already been predetermined? Not your salvation, but that those who are saved are what? Conformed to the image of his son. You can't do anything to keep that from happening if he knows you. Right? What if I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death? You're going to be conformed to the image of his son. What if the valley that I'm going through is because of something I did. If you're saved, you're still going to be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? It has already been determined. And there's nothing you can do about it, and why would you do anything about it anyway? That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. He calls us out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. That's His glory. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus is interceding for us even now. He is your great shepherd. He's praying for you. Right? He's praying for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Though I walk through the valley, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Believe in Jesus, brethren. Believe in Him. Not talking about being saved, although if you're not saved, believe in Him. Believe in Him. Believe in Christ that He will get you through. Amen? You know what Job's friends should have done? They should have said, Job, turn to God. I don't know what's going on, but He'll get you through. You don't have to curse Him. You don't have to forsake Him. You don't have to leave Him. Turn to Him and let Him lead you. He'll get you through. Friends, let's do that for one another too. Be the light and the shadow of death when people are going through trial. Turn them to Christ and let them know He is good. Amen? May God help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. Christians, we will go through trouble. Most of us have gone through some already. We'll go through more. But He is with you. If you're here today, what keeps Him from being our shepherd is our sin. We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. And so we sin against God. We forget God. We even get to the place where we hate God. We blame Him for all the evil of our life. When all the evil that comes into our life, God desires it to point you to Him so that you run to Him. That sin separates us from Him. And it'll separate us eternally if we don't understand and believe with all our heart what He did to take away that wall. That wall of separation between us. What He did to take it away is He died that brutal and bloody death on the cross. He took our punishment so that we don't have to be punished for our sin. He took it upon Himself. He became sin for us. He was buried in a grave because He was most assuredly dead. He wasn't knocked out. He wasn't in a coma. He was dead. But 3 days later, in 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate this, though we celebrate it every Sunday. He rose from the dead. And because He is alive, you can cry out to Him to save you. You are not crying out to a dead God. You are crying out to the God who is most assuredly alive. When I came to believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead, when I came to believe it with all my heart, I cried out to Him, I prayed to Him, and I asked Him to save me. And He did. If you're here today and you know your sin separates you from God, that you have no hope for heaven, that your destiny is hell because of your sin, because your punishment and the deserved punishment is hell, understand this. Jesus took that punishment on your behalf. And if you believe that with all your heart, right now, cry out to Him and ask Him to save you. Pray to Him. Tell Him you know about the separation that sin causes, but you know that He died to take that separation away. That He is alive, and that's why you're crying out to Him. Cry out to Jesus Christ, the God who made all things, but also in it died for you. Cry out to Him and ask Him to save you. In a moment, we'll close the song. If you're here today and you just cried out to the Lord, I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. But I would like to know, to pray for you and to rejoice that you've become part of the family of God. That your sins have been taken as far as the east is from the west. That you in effect have become my brother or my sister in Christ because He adopts us into His family. If that's you today, in the quietness of the moment, would you just look up at me and say, I asked Jesus to save me. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'll do what the preacher did for me when I was 19 years old. Is to ask God to show you what's true. Pray to Him and ask Him to show you what's true. As we close on our final song, Curtis, if you guys can come up. May God help us to remember that He is the great shepherd of His sheep. And I'm glad I'm one of them. When those troublesome days come, He's ready. Oh, that's right. We have the Lord's table. Sorry, guys. Curtis, can you come up, help Brian? George, Aaron, if you can come help the Lord's table.